there, all you guys and gals, you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is the Diesel-Powered Podcast, the voice of diesel punk on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. I am your host, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny, and I am swinging solid live from Hypericon 11 here in 2016 at the Millennium Maxwell House Hotel. And sitting alongside me is a very special live podcast co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the host of our monthly Swing What You Got music cast, DJ Swag Commander, Eugene John.
What's up, guys and gals?
Eugene, glad to have you with us for the first time live.
That's right.
We are here at Hypericon 11. This is the 11th year, and we're coming to you live from one of the panel rooms. So if you hear some of the background noise, and people yelling, screaming, acting the fool.
There's a bunch of them running around today.
Yeah, that's why. And we've already had a pretty full day, Eugene. You and I were up at the crack of dawn to deliver one of the first panels of the day.
If dawn is 10 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, to me it is. You know, I like to get up at the crack of noon.
Yeah.
But you and I did steampunk versus diesel punk.
We did.
And it was a knockdown, drag-out fight. Not really. Eugene and I have been doing this panel now. This was our second time, but we're going to be doing a few more times,
yes,
hopefully this year, yep, at some other cons. And, Eugene, you're the founder of the Music City Steampunk Consortium.
I am.
And as well as being a well-known diesel punk electro swing DJ, you also represent steampunk in Nashville.
Yes. We are the only and the premier steampunk group. All former steampunk groups have fallen by the wayside, and we stepped in and took over.
Yeah, and you guys are doing a lot of great things. You're actually active in the real world group. You're not just a Facebook group.
Well, one of the reasons I set up the group was because all the groups that were around were just Facebook groups that never did anything. And I said, you know what? We need an active group, a group that's going to do stuff. And so I founded Music City Steampunk Consortium, and we've lived up to our goal.
Yeah, you guys have a monthly tea at Soulshine Tea.
Shineworthy tea.
That's what I said. Don't contradict me. Shineworthy tea. You guys meet at least once a month. You do cons and festivals representing the Music City Steampunk Consortium.
That's right.
And where is the group going to be next?
Next, we are going to be participating in Dragon Con.
Okay.
Which is in September. I made application for TriCon in October, which is up in Evansville, Indiana. And then in October, we will be part of GMX.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. And hopefully I'll be hanging around those parts as well. We'll have to wait and see. As far as DragonCon, I am going to be in Atlanta. Big Daddy Cool is going to be doing his street magic act at the various locations around Dragon Con, although I'm not a booked guest. I'd love to change that. Wink, wink.
Hint, 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 nudge, nudge. Hint.
But I'll be performing my street act, passing the hat, and selling my book, Tales from the Flip Side, The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kitten. Speaking of which, Eugene.
Yes.
You and I filmed some segments of a brand new project.
We did.
That I'm working on, Tales from the Flip Side, Big Daddy Cool in the 21st Century. And it's a short film that we're doing to bridge the story between the first book and the upcoming second book. And I picked you to play one of the key characters, one of the lead characters, the architect,
one of the time master.
Yeah. And we filmed the first scene with you last night. Also joining us in this endeavor is Santiago Cirillo from The Walking Dead and Nephilim Chronicles and J.R. Ranch, I think it is, a movie he did with John, what's his face? John, you know the guy with the face and the thing. The movie star.
John with the face.
John, not John Waits. John, that's going to drive me crazy.
Well, that's not a far drive.
No, no. Anyway, so that hopefully will be coming out this fall, and we got a great cast, and we're filming scenes now, and that'll be a cool little short film. Eugene.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk a little bit more about your background. You are a DJ, an electric swing DJ.
Part-time.
And you do our monthly music cast, Swing What You Got.
Which is a combination of traditional swing and neo-vintage swing, as I call it. It includes the traditional swing. It includes the swing revival music from the 80s and 90s. And includes today's electro swing music.
Yeah, and it's really cool. We've gotten some great comments and feedbacks on it. We're averaging about 10,000 downloads per episode on that, so people are digging it.
Well, it's the good music. It's natural that they would dig it.
Yeah.
And we need to get some sponsors behind it.
Wink,
Death
wink.
Death Wish Coffee.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Hint, hint. Yeah, we're working on getting some sponsors for that, and you guys listening can actually contribute by going to the website, dieselpoweredpodcast.com. Click the Donate Now button, and you can make a donation directly to help us keep the lights on. And those donations not only help us upgrade equipment, because now, Eugene, you're actually seeing the Soviet-era surplus equipment that we're using. I had this out last night at the show here at Hypericon, playing the music tracks off my laptop, and the sound guy came up and went, "Dude, you're still rocking a G3?" That basically, he had the kind of the awe that someone has when they're looking at an antique, and it is. It's an antique. This thing is 15 years old. Hmm. Laptops don't normally last that long, but this is
almost as old as your son, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I got it like the year he was born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, crazy town, isn't it? Yeah. But it's still hanging in there. It records just fine. We just can't do Skype on it. And
because you don't have a webcam, huh?
Well, no. We record the audio through Skype.
Yeah.
But the operating system on the Mac, on the iBook, is so old that it won't support the new versions of Skype and the Skype recorder. So I can't even update the old. It won't work. So we need to update our equipment. Mm-hmm. And so people listening, they can donate now, click donate now, and we can upgrade our recording equipment, our software, and it helps us go to more cons.
Yes, definitely.
Because you know as well as anybody else, and I think you've kind of gotten an education over the last year that...
Yes, I have.
that a lot of cons want you to come.
Yep.
They're like, yeah, come on. Oh, yeah, wait, you need to be paid?
Nope, can't do it.
Well, can you do a table for us? Nope. How about a hotel room?
Nope.
So now there are cons that do have a budget, and they bring us in, and they pay our expenses, and we love those folks, but we'd love to be able to go to all the cons, and the only way we can do that is through listener donations, and you guys can do that right at www.dieselpoweredpodcast.com. That way,
well, when I go to the cons, of course, I go representing Music City Steampunk Consortium, and we try to have a promo table, but you know, there's no pay for that. They give us a free table, and if I do some panels, I might get free admission. But that's about it.
Yeah, but however, still got to pay for hotel, gas, you know, food.
And that's why I offer to DJ at cons. I do that. I DJ neo-vintage and vintage music, if you're interested in that. And, of course, that won't be free.
Now, no, sir.
No, sir.
Now, we talked a little bit about, and I'm going to move this mic even closer to you because it's super far away from me, but... I'm a lot louder than you.
Yeah, I've known that about you ever since I met you.
Yeah, you're a little bit soft-spoken, so we need to hear you a little bit more. So we've...
Okay.
we talked about you being the leader of the Music City Steampunk Consortium.
Yeah.
But you are a diesel punk as well.
Monday through Friday, I'm diesel punk. Weekends, I'm steampunk.
So explain that to the audience, what you mean by that.
That means that Monday through Friday, I basically a diesel punk lifestyler. I dress diesel punk, basically. I would dress vintage style, 20s, 30s, 40s, and wear that to work, and it has no problem. Once in a blue moon, I might go to work dressed some semi-steampunk. I won't have on the top hat, and I won't have on the riding boots, but I'll wear the long coat and the vest and all that. And so they know that I'm steampunk, and they also know that I tend to dress vintage. So, yeah, I'm kind of a semi-lifestyler when it comes to diesel punk.
Yeah, yeah, you walk both sides of the fence, and you're sporting a really cool pair of linen pants.
Yeah.
Are those good in the summer?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They don't wrinkle?
Well, they wrinkle, but they're cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I've never owned anything that was linen, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when summertime comes and you got a vehicle that doesn't have working air conditioning, you got to dress in something as light as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how did you get into the genre punks?
Well, you know, I've known about steampunk for many, many years and appreciated the aesthetic of it. But it wasn't until about maybe 2 years ago that I said, you know what? I stop appreciating this from afar and get involved in it, participate in it. And when I discovered that there wasn't an active group in Nashville, I said, okay, I'm going to go full steam ahead on this. As far as
no pun intended,
right? Yeah, exactly. contrary to popular opinion, steampunk is not dying, and it's not even running out of steam. Okay. Until I met you, I had not heard the term diesel punk. Even though I had been dressing that way for a long time, I'd been into the swing music and the swing era, I had not heard of the term diesel punk until I met you.
That's interesting. We hear that story a lot. Not necessarily that they didn't hear about it until they met me, but that people who come into the diesel punk community kind of do so after they've already been interested in the era, the fashion, the style, the music,
exactly,
and kind of doing it their whole life. I mean, that's how I was. I've been into the swing lifestyle, and by swing, I mean swing music, folks.
Yeah. Interesting story. I have a personalized license plate on my vehicle that says swing, and I've had to explain more than a couple of times that it referred to the music and the dance, not a lifestyle.
That's funny. Yeah, but I was into the retro vintage thing, and sci-fi, Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, the whole neo-vintage stuff for years and years and years, and had no idea that there was such a thing as diesel punk. But everyone kept coming up to me and saying, hey, Johnny, have you ever thought about doing steampunk? And I'm like, yeah, I like it. I get it. I love looking at it, and I appreciate it, but it's just not my thing,
yeah,
right?
It's not for everybody.
Yeah, so it's not my era. So I went online, and I thought, okay, what would they call that for someone like me that's into the noir, mm-hmm, or jazz age? And so I started looking at those terms, noir punk, deco punk were my search terms, and found diesel punk.
Yeah.
And there are people who use the term deco punk. It's becoming more popular in recent years to call it deco punk. But I found it by accident, and I was like, wow, there's a community. And we hear that story over and over and over again.
Yeah, when I met you and I asked you to tell me what diesel punk was, and you told me, I go, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's awesome. So you mentioned that you're a wedding officiant.
I didn't mention that.
No, yeah, you did.
Did I?
No, you mentioned license.
I mentioned that this morning in the panel.
In the panel,
I haven't mentioned it here.
Well, I'm mentioning it now. You're a wedding officiant.
I am a wedding officiant, and I do traditional weddings, but I specialize in themed weddings, such as steampunk, diesel punk, cosplay, you name it. I've done one recently, which was kind of Renaissance style, and I've got two steampunk weddings coming up this fall, and I'm looking forward to doing some diesel punk weddings.
Very cool. Now, you and I were talking in the panel this morning about, why steampunk is really kind of more prevalent, especially in the geek culture world. More people are into that than the diesel, and I'm willing to admit that. I would love more people to get into what I do, and we see them. I mean, last night you saw the World War II Phoenix. Did you see her with the airman's cap? And
yeah,
she had the pinup curls, victory rolls in her hair, and looking great. And we're seeing a lot of that kind of cosplay and the bombshell, DC bombshells, but still the overwhelming presence of steampunk is in the con world is pretty prevalent. And you know, you and I were talking about that this morning, and I think it's because dieselpunk in general is really prevalent in our pop culture visually, aesthetically. We see more of the styling in movies and music, you know, marketing and whatnot, than we do steampunk. And so steampunk tends to seem more unique, yeah, more fantastical.
Well, the visual difference is part of the answer to that quandary, if you will. We were talking in our panel this morning about the fact that the dieselpunk style of dress, in other words, the vintage 20s, 30s, 40s style, is not that far removed from current trends.
That's right.
You know, a lot of the styles that wore back then can be worn today. And we can go to work dressed like that, and people don't look at us funny. They might think we're kind of overly dressed at times.
That's right.
But they don't look at us funny because it's not that vintage. It's not that outdated, if you will. But when it comes to steampunk, it is so vintage and so outdated as far as style that it stands out more.
Well, and more than that, you know, the customization, the you know, the bespoke nature,
yeah,
we talked about that,
yeah,
and the gadgetry.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really doing steampunk right, there's some kind of hardware involved in the presentation.
Well, definitely, especially because the part of the aesthetic of steampunk is the maker community. We are interested in making things. The steampunk, well, basically steampunk has its beginnings in the Victorian age when a lot of new inventions were coming into play. Edison was around and Tesla, and people were confronting new technology, and it was new and strange to them. And so they were interested in how things worked, how, you know, the mechanisms, the clockwork, the gear work, the steam technology. But when dieselpunk come along, that technology was already in play. It was just a matter of refining it and making it faster and making it grittier, if you will.
Mass producing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's been a conversation this week on the Facebook group Dieselpunk HQ. And if you're listening and you're not familiar with the group, it is a pretty big group. Over 3,000 members. It is the largest dieselpunk group on the web.
It's international.
Yeah, it is international. And Andrew, the owner and admin, and Miles do a great job. And there was a discussion this week on this very topic of steampunk versus dieselpunk.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about it on the podcast a lot. You know, Larry Amiet started in dieselpunk. He's my co-host regularly. Daisy O'Dare started as a steampunk. Our former co-host, John Wofford, started as a steampunk and still does do steampunk as a member of the Air Marshals. And so we've had this conversation quite a bit. But it's funny to me that it still keeps coming up among groups. And, you know, I forget, not everybody listens to this podcast, although you should.
I'm shocked.
I know. Well, you know, we've got about 12 to 15,000 regular listeners.
Unfortunately, I have to admit, not everybody listens to my radio show.
I know.
By the way, we failed to mention that. I also play, I DJ Electro Swing live. Well, not live. I record it and upload it to the radio station. But I am heard 2 hours a day, every day of the week on Radio World Indie.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
So
Electro Swing music.
So you can hear them monthly here on the Diesel Powered Podcast or on Radio World Indie.
Right, that's radioworldindie.net.
Yeah, so, and you can hear that every day.
You go there to look for the schedule, and you look for, I have two programs. One is called Swing It Baby, which is on Mondays, which is an album-driven show. I play compilation albums. And then Tuesday through Friday, I have a program called Time Travels with DJ Swag Commander, where I just play electro swing music left and right. And then weekends, they rebroadcast the stuff I do during the week.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. And so anyway, we were talking about, you know, this steampunk versus dieselpunk. It came up on Dieselpunk HQ. And, you know, they were like, man, we need to have a conversation about this on. And I'm like, well, you know, Diesel Power Podcast does it all the time, but maybe it's time to you know, look at it again. And, you know, one of the things that came up in that conversation, not only the difference between steampunk and diesel punk, but, you know, one of the side conversations was about how steampunk, and you posted the meme from Jeff Mock,
right.
Is that his name?
Right.
Saying, hey, yeah, in the Victorian era there was sexism and racism and homophobia, but leave it out of your steampunk.
Right, right.
And so that's one of the things that seems to be really prevalent in the steampunk community is wanting to ignore or eliminate those dark parts of the history.
It's not ignoring it or eliminating. It's acknowledging that it existed, but that in the steampunk world it has no place. You know, we know that it existed in the Victorian and in the Edwardian age, but we're not going to carry that on in the current age. We're not going to bring that racism and that sexism and that classism into steampunk. It's an open, welcoming, equal community.
Well, and so the interesting thing about that is, you know, Larry Amyot and I have talked about this on the show, is that, you know, for the most part, diesel punks, we don't embrace those dark elements, but we do recognize them and we don't leave them out. You know, we don't embrace and celebrate those things, but we don't leave them out either. So, you know, if a character is supposed to be a racist character, you know, that element is going to be present in that character. If we're cosplaying a character or, you know, doing an original character, it's just a little bit different attitude, I think, because you see a lot of cosplayers doing Nazi cosplay.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And
diesel punk, yeah.
Yeah, and look, let me set the record straight for our listeners. If you're listening to this, we do not endorse Nazism, fascism, or any ism for that matter. Name that movie. If you are playing a villain and that villain is a Nazi, as long as it's clear he is a villain, it's okay. To me, it's no different than someone cosplaying as the Red Skull or Darth Vader.
In a role play type situation, that is acceptable.
Yeah.
As far as lifestyle,
No.
That's what I'm saying. As far as, you know, steampunk, you know, if we're going to role play a steampunk character, we role play it as a high class, you know, person. Now, in steampunk, there are also the workers and the quote unquote lower
class.
Yeah, the peasants, the lower class. And there are people that will dress that and cosplay that. In fact, steampunk, in effect, is a cosplay. Cosplay, however you want to pronounce it, but we create our own characters. We're not cosplaying some anime.
That's
or,
right.
You know,
that's right.
Yeah, we're creating our own characters. I actually have several different characters that I do. One is a Time Lord. The one I'm doing today is an Explorer, and there's a couple different characters or personas that I have in steampunk, and mine is not necessarily the upper class, but it's not the lower class either. It's kind of middle class, and. You know, when we're role-playing that element in our cosplay, you know, it is acceptable to acknowledge the fact that there was a classism, there was a racism, there was a sexism. But when it comes to living out our steampunk in our daily life, if you will, that has no place in today's world. And I think perhaps what Jeff Mock was trying to say was what I just said, as opposed to how you interpreted it.
Yeah, because that's not how I interpreted
yeah.
it from his words.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the things we talked about in that thread on Diesel Punk HQ and was brought up is that in the diesel era, diesel punks, you know, one of the punk elements is that gender roles are turned on their side. And this is something I don't see a lot in steampunk. In steampunk, it seems like the gender roles are pretty defined. Women are women, men are men. Women always wear corsets and skirts. Whereas in the diesel punk community, we've got women who are, you know, airship captains, explorers, adventurers, heroines. They're wearing sometimes men's clothing, not a gender bend,
right.
But, you know, and not androgynous either, but, you know, celebrating the strength of womanhood in the jazz age.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that starting in steampunk. You will see guys wearing kilts, which is very kind of new to steampunk. There's actually a male version of the corset. which I investigated because I could use a corset with my big belly, but quite expensive. So
well, they're supposed to help your back.
Yeah,
I've heard,
but
they're
very expensive.
Yeah, they really are. I've even looked at them to wear under my zoot suit because I got horrible back problems.
So there is, and I have seen some males wearing corsets. It's not the feminine type. It's incorporated to look like a vest or a waistcoat. But I have someone running around here this weekend wearing a kilt and a corset, and he's a male wearing that. It kind of looks semi-female, if you will. But I have seen females dressed in, you know, the male version of steampunk outfit. It is not very often you see it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it does happen, yeah.
And what I, you know, kind of love about the diesel punk era is, and the diesel punk community, is that we see everything in a broad spectrum. Everything from the classic pinup, you know, total feminine bombshell, to the more celebrated, you know, I don't want to say androgynous. That's not the right word.
Right.
But, and I don't want to say cross-dresser, but they're women who are completely woman, totally feminine, but they're also taking on a non-traditional gender role as for the era. You know, women weren't captains. They weren't adventurers and explorers in the historical era.
Right, but women's suffrage movement and women's rights movement started during that era.
Well, that's right. But that's what makes it punk, though, is that, you know, like the show Agent Carter, one of the things that makes that show diesel punk, besides the sci-fi and fantasy elements of the technology, is the fact that they've taken Peggy Carter's gender role and pushed against the traditional historic,
right.
You know, you remember in the first season, she really had to buck that system and overcome it. And by the second season, she has overcome it.
Right.
And she's seen as an equal and as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And that just wasn't something really that was prevalent in the historic era.
No, that's true. But that era represented a time of change. Like I said, the women's suffrage movement and women's rights movements began during the diesel era, if you will, which was non-existent in the Victorian age and the Edwardian age. I mean, women had no rights at all back then.
Yeah.
And it was unimaginable that they would even rise up to demand their rights back then. And so that is very rare in the steampunk aesthetic, because we're reflecting the aesthetic and the culture of the Victorian and Edwardian age.
Excellent. Excellent. Very cool. Well, you know, we could talk about this all day and all night, and we probably will again. But a couple of things I wanted to move on to. So if you guys haven't heard the news, we got an email last week from our buddy Tom Wilson. Now, longtime listeners of the broadcast know that Tom is one of the founding fathers of Diesel Punk. He started dieselpunks.org. Several years ago, and for the last 5 years, he has been the standard bearer for the diesel punk community, creating a central hub for all things diesel punk. And we got an email from him this week that as of this coming Wednesday, the 23rd, dieselpunks.org will close its doors.
I got the feeling somebody's going to pick up the ball and run with it, though.
Well, so here's where we are. Diesel Punk HQ, run by Andrew Gearwood, has stepped up and wants to take over dieselpunks.org, or at least save the content.
Okay, I thought that would happen. I'm glad it is.
Yeah, so here's what needs to happen. There's a cost involved, because Tom built something that was really spectacular. He invested a lot of money, and to keep it going at the level that it is going to cost some money, and they're trying to raise $750. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you know how it is.
Well, there's fees involved with the transfer of the registration of a website,
the hosting,
the hosting and the website design. There's a lot involved.
Yeah, there's some licensing issues and whatnot. So Andrew is asking folks who want to keep dieselpunks.org alive to make a donation via PayPal, and you can go to Diesel Punk HQ. It's the group on Facebook, and just shoot him a message and let him know that you'd like the PayPal address, because I can't find it anywhere on here. He'll let you know what to do. It's Andrew Gearwood, and we're gonna be able to save it. And so we want to support that. Now, Tom Wilson is not leaving the Diesel Punk community. What's going on is he's had some opportunities come up to do live events, and he started a production company. And, you know, according to his letter, and we're probably going to have him on in the next couple of weeks, you know, he set out to create a hub and a community and generate awareness, and he felt like he's completed that mission, and that Diesel Punk has grown far bigger than he ever imagined or had hoped. And so now it's time for him to move on to something else, and he's going to be doing vintage and retro Diesel Punk steampunk events, and is building his own theater outside of Philadelphia. And so it's going to be really fantastic what he's doing. But in the meantime, dieselpunks.org is going to trade hands, looks like. So we wish Tom Wilson all the love in the world, and thank you, Tom, for everything that you've done for our community.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, if there's any listener in the Nashville or Middle Tennessee area that would like to help us grow the Nashville Diesel Punk group, as far as leadership and management, you know, we're definitely going to work with you and help you with that. But, you know, me running the steampunk group, I don't have time to run two groups, and I'm very active with the steampunk group. But I will certainly help with building up a diesel punk group in the Nashville or the Middle Tennessee area. Johnny's too busy as well with all the stuff he does. And we want to see an active diesel punk group in Tennessee.
We just need someone to come in and organize events and get us together.
You know, I'm like I said, I'm too busy running my steampunk group. I'm not going to step down. I'm sure someday I'll step down from it. But, you know, we're just still in the stage of building that one up. So I can't step down right now to start another group.
Yeah, so get in contact with us if you want to do that. Hey, I just want to, since we're at Hypericon, I want to close with two things.
And close a prayer?
Well, you could do that, Mr. Wedding Officiant. Are you a fan of The Twilight Zone?
I used to be.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of The Shadow?
I used to be.
All right, so Dynamite has...
Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of men? The Shadow knows.
Dynamite has a brand new Shadow series called Twilight Zone, The Shadow.
Wow.
This is, you know, running concurrently with The Death of Margot Lane, which has been a fantastic series by Matt Wagner. But this is a mashup of The Twilight Zone and The Shadow. Basically, Lamont Cranston and The Shadow, as two separate people, find themselves in The Twilight Zone.
Wow, maybe that's where I need to go, because I've been searching for myself for ages.
Yeah. So... And in the story, the character of the Shadow actually appears literally as
a shadow,
Lamont Cranston's shadow.
Uh-huh.
And it's a really cool idea, really cool mashup. And if you're into Twilight Zone and if you're into the Shadow, check that out, Twilight Zone Shadow. They're on issue number 3, so you can easily go back and pick up issues 1 and 2 and catch up. And
Tomorrow.
You guys are listening to this probably on Monday or Tuesday, but Father's Day is here.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is Father's Day.
Tomorrow.
Or yesterday.
Whenever you're listening to this. It was Sunday.
Yeah.
It was Sunday.
And if you need a gift for your dad, or you haven't gotten a gift yet, or you just want to get something cool, I'm going to suggest the novel Tales from the Flip Side by my pal John Pica. It's, you know,
time for shameless self-promotion.
Hey, you know what? I gotta make the shekels. Can you dig that? I knew you could. So I wrote this book, and you know, it's super powered burlesque dancers, time travel.
Speaking of burlesque,
vampire Nazis.
Last night.
It's an autobiography, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and Audible as an audiobook. And speaking of Audible, you could actually get it for free. Go to audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast, and you get an audiobook on us for free just for trying them out. And you can make Tales from the Flipside your free audiobook. And that helps us out. So go check that out. Yeah, so you were going to say burlesque?
Yeah, you were mentioning that the book has burlesque in it. And last night there was a fantastic burlesque show here at Hypericon.
Who emceed that?
Who emceed that? Some nerd. Some guy who thinks he can sing and dance and do magic. I think his name was Johnny Delarosa. No, that's not it. I think
I hate you so much right now. But it was, hey, it was a good show, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. I especially like seeing my personal friend, Marie Merlot. I always say I like to have a glass of Merlot.
That's not creepy at all.
And when you said somebody wanted to propose to Marie last night, I was raising my hand.
We'll talk later. Anyway, hey, we want to leave you with one last thing. Of course, check out our sponsor, audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. Also, since we're talking about the Shadow Comic, check out Comic Bento. They deliver a mystery box of graphic novels to your mailbox every month. And check them out at mycomicbento.com. You get at least $50 worth for less than $20. And if you sign up, it helps keep our lights on and helps send us to other cons. And send us an email, feedback@dieselpoweredpodcast. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. You can check out Eugene's group, the Music City Steampunk Consortium,
on Facebook. We have a website coming in progress. If you look at the website right now, which is a long title, musiccitysteampunkconsortium.com, all you'll see is a coming soon page right now because I have to find a web designer. But you can find us on Facebook. And if you're interested in steampunk and not even into it, but you're interested, we accept what I call Steam Curious into our membership. And we have, like I said, we have monthly meetings, so even those that are Steam Curious can come out and learn more about what it is, how they can get involved in it, and how they can start building their costume and their persona. A little, since you did some shameless self-promotion, I'm going to do so as well. Again, RadioWorldIndie.net for 2 hours a day of electro swing music by yours truly, DJ Swag Commander. That's my DJ name. And I will be DJing most likely at GMX. I've been talking to them about DJing at GMX this year, so hopefully I'll be getting a firm yes on that as well.
Excellent.
And if you're interested in having a diesel punk, steampunk, cosplay, you name it, wedding, look up Swag Weddings also on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Well, guys, that's going to wrap us up. We appreciate you tuning in. We want to thank Hypericon 11 for hosting us. And until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.